Blog Talk Radio.
Every night of the week, in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services, by Dr. Kathleen Carroll, a board-certified psychiatrist in private practice since 2003. Dr. Carroll previously was the director of inpatient services at the Bay Pines VA Hospital and the Bay Pines VA Medical Center. Dr. Carroll specializes in the treatment of children ages 6 and older, and the treatment of adults, in other words, from the womb to the tomb. She's also an all-time triathlete, so if you ever had any problems with life or you're having any problems breaking through that next level in athletics, give her a call. She can help you through it. Or visit her at her office at 336 East Bloomingdale Avenue in Brandon, Florida. Her phone number is 813-689-2466. We want to wish each and every one of our listeners a very happy St. Paddy's Day. We always end the show with an Irish prayer that says, may the rose rise up to meet you, may the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the light shine lightly on your face until we meet again. May the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hands. And we really want to wish that to everybody. We just got our new numbers in, and we were up again. We're up another 5,000 listeners. So we couldn't say enough. And the two guys sitting here with me, Ty and Zito, are responsible for 90% of that. So I want to give them all the credit. But how you guys doing?
Doing well.
Good. Well, we had a mystical fight here last week with Oscar Valdez beating Scott Quigg. What do you think, Ty?
Or unfortunately, only one man can walk away with a decision. But those are two guys. And, you know,
coming in and out.
I bet she's on the train, right?
No, it's just the reception.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What do you think, Z?
Yeah, well, I think both men made a very good account of themselves. It's scoring-wise, I thought it was a draw. The score to me were ridiculous. But both of them showed their toughness. Quigg put on the pressure. He was effective putting on the pressure. Valdez was very good at boxing, countering at times. But I think the pressure was getting to him a bit, and he, you know, as the fight was wearing on, he ended up throwing keep away punches. And really, I mean, when it comes to affecting punches, they both hurt each other. But Valdez hurt Quigg with a body shot early and a body shot late. He hurt him, didn't drop him, but he made him double over and keep his elbow there for the whole round. With that said, Quigg, to me, and Max Kellerman says it sometimes, and I agree with it a lot of times, is who would you have rather been? You know, and after each round, I'm like, well, Valdez landed the cleaner shots, but as far as the effective shots, I would rather be not on the end of Quigg's punches. Just because Quigg, and not to mention Quigg came in heavy, and he was obviously a bigger man. He looked like a whole weight class bigger than Valdez. So, you know, I can give that to Valdez. Maybe the judges also gave it to Valdez, but I think just off a body of work, it was a draw. With that said, both men made very, very good account of themselves.
Ty, are you within range now?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, now we can hear you. Yeah.
Wow, okay.
What's your thoughts on the fight?
Well, you know, I completely concur with Zito. Of course, I was able to hear you. I completely concur with Zito. I think the first thing that needs to be stated, though, is that Scott Quigg missed weight. So he came in with sizable weight advantage, which is, you know, in boxing, or weight classes for a reason. And when you miss weight like that, you know, you rehydrate even bigger. He was a full weight class or so above Valdez, and it gave him the ability to absorb shots, and he's a tough kid anyway. I think you got to give Valdez credit. With a broken jaw, that really affects his breathing as well as his, I mean, just touching his face. And, you know, Valdez is a good fighter, but he's one of those fighters that, you know, he's one of those guys you worry about burning out a little early. You know, it seems like he has to, you know, every fight, once he's reached a certain level of competition, is a war. And it takes a lot of shots. And, you know, guys like that, their careers tend to not last as long at the peak. So I think you kind of got to enjoy him while he's here, that he could become a little bit better defensively. But it seems like he's always in a war, always taking a lot of shots and a lot of damage, you know, and that stuff, you know, attrition on your body, wear and tear. About that aspect of him. He's not the biggest puncher. He's a busy guy who likes to stay in your face. And So, you know, again, he's a young guy. I don't think he's elite, but I think he's very, very good. So he's a guy you want to keep your left point for.
Yeah, I had noticed in all the reports about him suffering a broken jaw in the, like the fifth round, and they had to keep, but he kept on going. That's amazing.
Yeah.
To keep on taking punches when you know you're hurting that bad, he's got to be a strong person.
Well, you have to give credit to.
I'm sorry. He also doesn't possess styles. But not like per se Muhammad Ali, you know, who was getting his jaw broken and still being able to slide and dip away from punches. Valdez is only effectively if he's stepping around, coming forward, throwing punches and bunches. And so, I really give him credit because it's him to kind of fight differently than he likes. But I think that with Scott Quigg's strength, resolve, and size as well, too.
And you have to give both guys credit because Valdez is fighting with a broken jaw while he's rearranging Quigg's face. Both guys, they walk through some shots. One thing you could say, though, is it's one thing when the guy is hitting you and breaking stuff on you and you're not getting back at him. That's a big problem. But when you're touching on the guy, too, it hurts. But you have the confidence that, you know what, maybe I can get, this one off to get him out of there. I mean, that gives you enough confidence at times to not quit.
I mean, the Quigg's face, you also got to think Quigg has got to be bruised out as well. You know what I mean? So, like you said, when you're able to touch your opponent, we talk about Vasily Lomachenko. He's not beating them up. He's literally outclassed them. Able to hit them, they become frustrated, and it's like, wait a minute. You know, as a fighter, that's what it's all about, getting your pound of flesh. If you can't get your pound of flesh and the guy is touching on you, it's discouraging as opposed to even physically getting beat up. I would see the same thing happen with Shane Mosley against Winky Wright. When he fought Winky Wright and he couldn't touch Winky Wright the way he wanted to, you saw him get a little discouraged in the corner. He wasn't getting beat up, just discouraged, you know, because your game plan is all for naught. Like Zito said, when you're able to touch your opponent, it forces you to hang in there. You know what? I'm having success. I can have more.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Frank.
Chris. Guys, Dr. Chris
I'm
has
here.
Joined us.
How you doing,
hey,
guys?
Hey,
Dr. Chris.
All right.
Hey,
what are
Chris,
you guys talking about?
We're just talking about the Quigg and Valdez fight last week.
Oh.
We have another question I want to move on to was the Mikey Garcia fight.
Oh, yeah. Good fight.
Good fights. There were a lot of good fights coming on.
Yeah.
And I saw another good. Mikey Garcia looked great, by the way. He knows how to win. I mean, he's the son of a gun.
Yeah.
That guy asked for he loves to get hit in the face. Like one guy, Ipanets, he loves to get hit in the face because he carries his left hand on his shoelace, you know?
Yeah.
And he's not good enough to get it back up. And Garcia just kept picking. That's all he had to do was keep throwing right hands. And next thing you know, his eye was all beat up. Then he started throwing a left hook behind the right hand. He gave that guy a lesson. That guy learned something that night, you know?
You know what? It's funny because that guy, Lippitt, 30 Lippitt, he only had 30. And so, he got schooled a little bit, but he put up a really good fair share. And shots on Mikey.
Yeah.
He took a good shot at 140 because Lippitt has landed some good shots on him. So I think Lipinets is going to be a better experience. I think he grows from this. So I do think you're right. I think he did give him a lesson to a certain extent.
Is Lipinets part of the group? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Zito.
No. The only thing I was going to say, the better class fighters know how to take the ball away. Meaning that when you are getting on your roll doing good, the better class fighters know how to kind of stem that and almost turn it around to where there were times in the fights where Lipnick was taking the play from Mikey. And it was actually getting to Mikey. And Mikey had to figure out a way to kind of take that play back from him and keep the ball in his court. The better fighters know how to do that, know how to not as much just turn it around from, you know, major adversity, just as much as suddenly, you know, the guy's getting, you know, what he wants to get off. Now you suddenly either stop it or you start getting what you need to get off so he doesn't, you know, he stops doing what he's doing. Mikey is good at that. And it's more of round time, not, you know, not just going out and getting it. The guy hits you and say, hey, I'm going to get it back. It's more of a sense of round and fight timing. Like, you know what, I might not, you know, the guy's coming on. I don't know how it looks to go ahead and get mine back. Let me figure this out. That's what the better guys do.
Chris?
Well, Garcia fought the fight he had to fight. The guy comes out with his left hand so low and turned to the right. He's also, his whole body was turned to the right. All night long, he threw right hands, and 80% of them were going to land. It's the targets right there. Closed the guy's eye, puffed his eye up. I mean, the guy is tough as nails, but I think his trainer is bad because that guy does not know how to throw a left hook. He's in bad position to throw a left hook. He's a one-dimensional fighter. I mean, I like the guy. He's tough, but he needs another trainer. You know? Did you guys see the big heavyweight from New Zealand? He fought the preliminary on one of those cards. His name, he was a giant, 6'6", 270 pounds. You didn't happen to see him?
No.
One of them cards, he was on a preliminary. I'm trying to remember which one it was. That was a show in itself. That guy is a giant. He's mean, but he doesn't know how to fight. Another guy that needs a good trainer. He's got 13 fights. He won 12 from fright, from dying from fright. He's so big, this guy.
Wow.
Yeah, guy. You look at him, you want to go run out the door. And the guy that he fought was 6'5" and weighed about 240, and gave him a pretty good match. You know, this guy has potential. I'm sorry you guys didn't see it because he's one of the biggest fighters I've ever seen. Massive guy. And he jabs well, and then he throws the right hand, and it lands, looks like it's going to knock somebody out, but it doesn't do anything. It looks like it's going to knock the guy out. He lands the right hand, but it's like a push punch. He's so damn big. And his feet aren't connected to his body. His feet are just bad. He's like a guy fighting in snowshoes. He looked like he was boxing with snowshoes on. You know? I mean, talk about clumsy. Oh, great. But it was very interesting. Yeah, I'm sorry you guys missed it. But yeah, it was a good week of. So who we got tonight? Who's going tonight? Anybody?
Francisco. No, Vargas.
We have
Jose
Amir,
Madrazo.
The Imam.
That's here. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Imam.
Okay. We got
Jose Ramirez, which is.
How'd you like the kid progress that fought the big, tall Ndongo? Did you see that one?
Oh.
The dress this afternoon?
Progress is fantastic.
Regis Progress? Yeah, his name is Regis Progress.
Yeah. Put on a phenomenal show last week. I don't know what damn, but he put on a phenomenal show for a guy named Ndongo, 6'1". He's 5'6". Looked like he was, a second grader fighting a senior in high school. I mean, I thought, oh, my God, this guy's got an immense amount of reach. But I thought it's going to be no contest. And Progress knocked him out about the fourth round. Of course, the big tall guy, with all the advantages, had no body at all. I mean, if you touch him, you know, I saw Armstrong knock him out. I'm not Armstrong. I keep calling him Armstrong. The left-hander from Nebraska.
Crawford.
Kennedy. I keep losing his, forgetting his name. He knocked him out with a couple body shots, and so did Progress.
Uppercut to the body.
Yeah, and Progress is a good body puncher, good puncher. He looks like Progress reminds me so much of Pernell Whitaker. He looks like Pernell Whitaker. That's about all I can tell you. He fights exactly like Pernell Whitaker, and he did a sensational job. And he's also won two other fights. I saw him reruns on. So he's, look out for him. You're going to hear about that guy. So when's the big British guy fight? When does he fight?
He's just calling out Joshua. He hasn't got anything lined up yet, and there's no contract.
Oh, Ken Walker and Joshua on March 31st.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fight. Yeah, I knew it was coming up soon.
Oh yeah, March 31st, just a weeks away.
Yeah.
We televised on Showtime.
Yeah, on Showtime.
Yeah. That'll be a good one.
Hey, Ty, what do you think about Andy Ruiz's fight last week with Vargas? He took him right out in the first round.
Yeah, So it had been a 16 months since Ruiz. He would have him rounds and just, but he's back. He's been there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Z, what do you think?
Well, Andy Ruiz's shape tells a lot sometimes. Let's say it's not going to tell me a whole lot about Clark.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Chris.
I didn't see the fight, guys. I'm breaking up. I'm losing you guys a little bit. I didn't see the fight. I missed that fight.
Yeah, Ruiz took him out in the first round. I mean, it was almost no contest. I mean, he just felt the hell out of him.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen one of those for a long while. First round knockout by a good fighter. By a good fighter, Sam Mustin. You know, but I didn't see that. I don't know why. There was so much on, I missed it. And then they rerun him the next morning, the next night. Christ, they rerun. I must have seen the Progress fight 10 times. I never get tired of watching it. He's so damn classy, and he had. And then because he's fighting, they're running that. They'll run two or three of his other fights. Boy, he's impressive, that guy. But I didn't see the Ruiz fight. You know, I don't know what the hell.
We got Vasily Lomachenko coming against Linares on 5/12 in New York. What do you think about that one, Z?
I'm glad they signed that fight. It's hard to go against Lomachenko, but Linares is good. Linares is good. And if I'm correct, Linares is bigger as far as length and height, arm reach and height. Linares is a fast-handed fighter who throws in combinations. Has pretty good reflexes, defensive reflexes. Not exactly a defensive master. He'll be there at times to get hit. But he's so fast that he's one of those guys you have to catch up to. Lomachenko is going to have to work for this. Linares is not one of those guys who's going to be in Lomachenko. He's not a flat-footed guy who Lomachenko is necessarily just going to easily be able to stay around. Linares will move back. He'll jab. He has a very good jab. He'll double jab, and he'll throw his right. He'll throw to the body. He's a very good body puncher. With that said, to me, Linares is physically more gifted than Lomachenko, and he's a very good boxer. Lomachenko is a master class boxer, and he's not out of this world, you know, out of this league in his fight as far as physical talent, as far as physical gifts. He's not out of this league against Linares. But Lomachenko's going to have to work. He's going to have to work, and he's going to have to do something that we tend not to see Lomachenko have to do, and that's kind of come to the guy. He's going to have to kind of bring the fight to Linares at times, and that's because Linares, he doesn't mind, you know, using his feet. He doesn't mind coming in at a certain range. He's good at that range. He's disciplined at that range to where Lomachenko at times is going to have to work past that, work past Linares' quick feet moving back out of range. Lomachenko's going to have to take his time and maybe kind of brace for a little more inside fight. You know, try to, you know, engage in a little more inside fighting with Linares. With that said, I think Lomachenko is capable of doing that. And, you know, it's going to make for an interesting fight. It's going to make for an interesting fight.
Good. What do you think, Ty?
Well, you know what? I mean, you're talking about one of the master boxers we've ever seen. And he's going to figure out a way. He's going to figure out a way. The opponents that Lomachenko is going to face are all going to be good. There's no bad fighters in that weight class. I mean, they're all good. So Lomachenko's just going to have to rise above it, figure out what he could do, and he'll do it. I know Linares is talented. He's a talented guy and all. I've seen him fight many times, but I just can't see anybody beating Lomachenko. Unless Lomachenko moves up in weight, you know, I don't see anybody beating him. At this point, but like I say, all the fighters are good. They're so damn good. I'm anxious to see Crawford fight again. He's a guy I want to see. I have schools out. I watched him knock Longo out and with two couple of punches about the third or fourth round, and I thought, boy, that's terrific. Then I saw Progress knock him out with a couple of nothing punches, but then I realized that Longo can't take a punch. So I'd like to see Crawford in against a better opponent, and before I could pass opinion on him, I think he's tremendous. He's a lot like Lomachenko. He'll figure out a way to beat you. He's going to give you three or four rounds, and he's going to start figuring out a way to beat you. So we'll see what happens. But I just can't go against Lomachenko. I mean, unless he moves up in weight class.
It's hard to go against him, but styles make the fight.
Yeah, you're right. Styles do make the fight. But what style do you have to have to beat Lomachenko? What the hell would beat him? Taller opponent that stays away from him? I don't know. I don't know that that would work. I don't know. I just don't know how the hell you beat that guy. You know, he's got it all.
A tall opponent that has a nice punch and that can kind of keep it tall is hard for anyone. It's hard for anyone. Ask anybody who fought Tommy Hearns. That's just difficult. I mean, I'm not saying Linares has anything on Tommy Hearns as far as what he does, but I mean, as far as game plan, I mean, if you can try to make Lomachenko fight a short man's fight and make him have to work to get to you, instead of you making the mistakes, then that kind of, you know, that cuts half of your work down. Because Lomachenko is the guy who will capitalize almost every time you let something go and miss. That's a guy who's going to capitalize. If you can keep him out of range from that and you could still kind of touch on him, that's the beginning. That's the beginning of stuff. Now, it's hard for me to go against, I mean, Linares is good, hard for me to go against Lomachenko in this fight because Lomachenko's so consistent, and I think that he can figure out a way to get at Linares. Linares does have holes. He runs too much offense sometimes. Has his head straight up, won't move his head off the floor. Not really a, you know, where you see Lomachenko side to side, you know, avoiding punches. Linares isn't like that. He'll use his feet for defense. That, as I say, that can be a good and a bad thing against a technical a guy like Lomachenko, a shorter, technically fundamental guy. So, I mean, it makes for an interesting fight. But personally, I always pick the better, the more fundamental technical boxer than the physical guy.
Well,
with him, you're right.
Yeah.
Then we got Triple G coming up. That's going to be a hell of a fight.
Right.
Yeah, Canelo got almost a year to move into full middleweight. I mean,
do we have a clearance on that yet, though? Wasn't Canelo still under the gun because of the steroids he was taking?
Yeah, I think they're gonna the fight's gonna go on, they found like trace amounts of was it something butyrol something, but it's Clint Butyrol. Thank you. They found trace amounts of it, and you know from what I heard, that's consistent with his excuse of eating the tainted Mexican cow meat.
Mm-hmm. Ty, you can at least say the word, but why don't you give us your background on what you think that fight's going to be?
Well, first of all, I mean, obviously, Canelo is under the most advanced, at least should be canceled. It would take that, you know, to cancel the fight. Leading up to it. It's not so quite simple. His weight, so they to joke for why have a program his body has your country. Wait. I want to comment on the Linares-Lomachenko fight. That's a brilliant fight. And on paper, Linares presents with a punch he hasn't seen before. He's going up in weight to fight a taller, bigger, athletic boxer who can move. He's not fighting a plotter, and he's not fighting a small guy. So Linares presents a completely different picture. But something Vito was saying about, the better guys, he was referencing Mikey Garcia and Sergey Lindblom fight, and he was just talking about the better guys can kind of take the play away from you. They know when to step on the gas, so to speak. But four punch box, there's a jab, a cross, uppercut. First thing you throw is a variation of one of those punches, whether you throw it to the body, to the plexus, is a variation of one of those four punches. I think what it comes down to is elite fighters kind of process a little bit quicker. And I think with Vasily Lomachenko, what I see in him, he's very gifted physically, by making a mistake. He's a beast athletically. And, his style's been honed and trained, and of course. But so his process is a little faster than the guys he's fighting. So for as talented and gifted fundamentally, mathematically, Jorge Linares is, what I do see Jorge Linares is a guy whose mind doesn't quite keep up with the skill level. When I see Lomachenko, I see a guy whose mind is actually, a level above his physical actions. And that's really what it comes down to. When you talk about a guy who's going to beat Lomachenko, it style-wise, like Leo said, a Tommy Hearns, a tall-range boxer who possesses the threat of power will always keep someone at bay trying to get close to them. And we saw, I think it can't be Casano. Lomachenko's been defeated. Basically, first professional fight against, or second fight against Orlando Salido. But I think there's something to be said of that style. That style really gave him trouble because he didn't have the room to operate
happening at a rate that his mind couldn't quite process as well. So I think there's certain things that can disrupt his rhythm. The other thing, too, is Lomachenko is vulnerable. All southpaws are open to the straight right, and I've seen him call with it a couple times, specifically in the Mariaga fight. Mariaga made a miss a bunch of times. It was right here and there. You know, what it is because Lomachenko is 3 or 4 steps ahead, taking that offense. But I can't look at, you know, fighters, very good fighters, great fighters. As I think we're talking about is obviously a certain class level. But once class level and athleticism are kind of on an equal par, we're talking about mind processing, with guys' minds firing a little bit quicker. And right now, for my money, nobody's mind. I think he's going to have to be outdone in a significant way physically to lose. He's going to have to either get caught with something, or he's going to have to. You know, sometimes you look, everybody looks invincible. Sugar Shane Mosley looked invincible. He ran in the Vernon Forbes. So, you know, you always run into somebody that's, that you could be a kryptonite. It could be a style like Salido, but it's going to be somebody that's, I don't know, rhythm, but things in a manner where his mind has a hard time processing. Because once he figures you up, it's curtains.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chris, let me ask you, especially this one, because I know it's one of your favorite topics, but Tyson Fury is trying to get a fight with the winner of the Anthony Joshua fight. What's your thoughts on that one?
He's got to prove himself.
Mm-hmm.
He just can't. Joshua's not going to fight a guy that, and the public is not going to pay a huge gate for, you know, for an unknown thing. And, you know, we've seen things like this in a bit. I mean, sure, he wants to fight, but he's got to prove, he's got to go out, he's got to show the public that he's ready for a fight.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they should give him a title shot until he proves himself. Show up in the public, show up that he doesn't look like a whale, you know what I mean? And that,
yeah,
he's got his act together, and let him, you know, let's see if he's capable of winning a fight against a decent opponent. Then I'd like to see him fight Anthony Joshua. That would be a good fight. That would be a very good fight, providing we got the right Tyson Fury, you know.
Right.
And I just don't see I don't see anybody making that match. He'd like to go right to the top, you know. He'd like to go right to the top, and he'd come up again. But it might be a fiasco, and there's too many people involved, too much money at stake, and somebody would lose their shirt. I don't know of a smart promoter that would put that on without some proof that we don't have a guy that's going to break down in the ring, you know. So I really would like to see some proof that he's got something resembling his old style, you know. I think he would give the Tyson Fury that we saw against the Russian would give him a good fight, but not the guy that's been bouncing around, you know, putting on 50 pounds and taking it off and being half nuts, you know. So I just don't see it happening. If I were a promoter, I wouldn't want to take that chance. Put him on a preliminary somewhere, or get him against a mediocre opponent. There's a lot of guys out there like that he fought. You know that what's that guy's name? The small heavyweight that he beat. The guy that we like, he picks tough fights all the time.
Stevie Cunningham.
Poor Stevie. I mean, give him somebody that you know can fight. And Cunningham gave him a hell of a fight up to the point where he literally held Cunningham's head and then pulled him down and threw an uppercut. But that was a decent fight. And then I think he fought right after that is when he fought you know, for the championship and won. But I really would like to see I'd like to see that fight when Tyson Fury's got it all together. Well, I don't think he did enough to deserve a shot without proving himself again. That's all.
Yeah, what do you think, Peyton?
I wouldn't.
And I'm 100% in accordance with you, Dr. Chris.
Thank you.
When it comes to, I mean, I know in America, I guess, boxing isn't as big, and especially the heavyweight championship. But, I mean, overall, and just throughout history, the heavyweight championship is probably the greatest single achievement that a man could physically have, historically. So the way Tyson Fury kind of treated the heavyweight championship right after he got it is a strike against him. The way he left it and the way he treated it. And then I'm just talking strictly as far as coming back to even see the heavyweight championship. That's a strike against him. And then you also have him, you know, you see him on camera and the guy has ballooned up to, you know, as you said, 60 plus pounds over. I mean, and when you see him, he's ballooned up like that, talking about he wants a fight. That's another strike against him. That doesn't make any sense. So, I mean, right now, just the way you've kind of treated the heavyweight championship, you need to start over. Not totally over, you know, but you need to start with a certain level again. You don't need to see guys who are looking to fight for the championship. You need to start a level below that. And then you need to go see the guys who may be looking to fight against a champ. You know,
I have a completely diverse opinion from you and Dr. Chris. First of all, both of you guys are 100% right. If you're talking about competitive athletic endeavor, 100% right. A guy who was the champion blew it away mentally, essentially, disappeared, gained weight, wants to come back for the title competitively. The competitive athletic endeavor, he needs to prove himself. However, in the world of boxing, where money talks, if six bodies hand out one like tax at a stinky man's party, I am telling you, here's what happens. If they could get Tyson and walk him into Anthony Joshua and sell out Wembley Stadium, right now, they would do it. Tyson Fury, because of how he talks on the microphone, he promotes a fight, right now probably represents still a bigger payday than Deontay Wilder for Anthony Joshua. That is his biggest payday out there, and that's what the game is about, unfortunately. Now, here's what would need to happen. Tyson Fury would not need to start over. Technically, should he? Hell yeah, he needs to prove himself, but that's not what would need to happen. All that would need to happen is he would need to fight and look good doing it, then sell the Joshua fight, which he would. And they would sell out Wembley Stadium, and he would cash out. If he could hold it mentally together for a year, he has that fight. Because literally, if he takes a tune-up fight, say at one of say at the 0-2 in London, and he looks good in that tune-up fight against a relatively safe, tough, and he called Joshua out, one of the sanctions will indeed put him as a top contender for that fight, or Eddie Hearn signs that fight, Joshua's promoter, as a voluntary defense, because it is the biggest money fight for Joshua and his team. They're like, this guy's been out the ring for a year, it's an easy fight. 2 years, it's an easy fight. But biggest money fight out there. That's why Tyson Fury wants to come back, because he sees that Joshua is. Potentially that Deontay is too. Tyson Fury is not the golden goose. That's Anthony Joshua now, but that's Joshua's clearly his biggest payday, clearly. And they know that. That's one reason why the push for Tyson Fury to get in shape is going on. All he has to do is look good once, gentlemen. He doesn't need to work his way back up the rankings. They'll do that for him. You know the game, guys. He's a former champion. He's a moneymaker. All he has to do is come back and look good once and get his number one ranking to fight Joshua. Or they'll set it up as a voluntary defense. And you guys know it's true. When it comes to the true competition sport, it's great, and that's the way it should be, But the when you're talking about a moneymaker, the money will talk. If it was the true competition that we could rely on, then unfortunately Canelo and Triple G would not be fighting in May. But I guarantee you that it's off because the money talks. And that's what can happen with that's what would happen with Tyson Fury. Two fights, one fight, and he could get Joshua if he wants to. Just be a matter of him saying, I need to give myself a better chance to win.
Now, do the promoters take the chance on him again, or is he bad for business? That's a question.
That's why I see him get through a camp. Anybody will take chance on him because he's a money maker. All you got to do is hope he does it. That's all you got to do is hope he does it. If he does it, I mean, he's a money maker.
Yeah,
well, let me ask you another question. Then, besides Tyson Fury, we've got Dillian Whyte also trying to get a fight with Anthony Joshua, the winner of the Anthony Joshua fight. What would you think of that fight?
Well, Dillian Whyte's about to fight Lucas Big. Right. I got to see him get past that. And Whyte is a tough kid. He's a certain level to me. And part of the reason why is because he's promoted by Eddie Hearn, who promotes Anthony Joshua. So Eddie Hearn, Dillian Whyte's name in the news whenever Anthony Joshua comes along. And what Hearn has been is kind of using Dillian Whyte for, if you guys have really kind of subtly been paying attention, he's going to be that eliminates a lot of competition, hopefully, for Anthony. He's the buffer. He's kind of the buffer. What screams Anthony Joshua. Well, Whyte first.
We need to get ready for that fight with Whyte. Big Baby brought Derek Chisora in to be a sparring partner. He's been there about 3 weeks now. What do you think of that one?
For what?
Say that again. Baby Miller did what?
He brought in Derek Chisora to be one of his sparring partners in camp now for 3 weeks.
And who's Baby Miller? Who's he going to fight?
Dillian Whyte.
Whyte's fighting Lucas Brown, Big Daddy Brown.
Yeah, that's didn't I say it?
Wow.
Lucas Big Daddy Brown brought in Chisora
to get himself confused.
But
Big Daddy.
You better bring somebody in. Somebody's got to come in and put a chain on a refrigerator. And that's the first thing his foreign partner should do for him. And then let him get in some kind of shape because he's on the bottom of my list. He's on the bottom of my list as a contender. I mean, they're really trying to push him. But, he's just a, you know... I don't care what he does. It's not going to impress me. When he fights, I'll be able to, judge. But it's always great to bring in a good sparring partner. I mean, it's always great to do that because there's so few of them around, and they're not, they're not just hanging around a gym like they were years ago. You got to pay good money to get a guy to come over there and work with you. But I think it's a plus, at least Big Baby is showing signs that he's got some kind of a brain. You know, he's going to really have to bring in some good sparring partner, put some tough time in the gym. You know,
I know we're not talking about Big Baby. It's Big Baby.
We're kind of breaking up. I'm only hearing about half the conversation. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah, Lucas Brown is Sarah Chisora, you need somebody like that, especially if you're going to fight Dillian Whyte, a rough guy who's going to be there, who's going to bring it to you. Now, I mean, even in sparring, you don't expect Chisora to be in the best of shape. But he's a guy he's definitely going to give you the contact that you're seeking in going into a fight with Dillian Whyte.
Also, decision of Dillian Whyte too. Damn good fight. So, very smart for Big Daddy. Like it just happened last year. So I think that part of it is a little gamesmanship because of the rivalry between Chisora.
Well, you know, there's another fight I want to ask you about, Z, and that would be Jeff Horn going against Terrence Crawford that's coming up. Saturday.
I know they postponed it because Crawford hurt his hand. Don't know exactly how long. But in that fight, it is – I'm predicting it to be a bit rougher than Crawford wants it to be. Not saying that he won't win, but he's going to have to show me a little more than he has been showing me lately. It's a big guy who's like taller guy and a heavier guy. Horn is also a pretty tough guy he's a tough guy who knows how to get him in there. I saw him the Pacquiao fight and another fight, but I mean, from what I saw, he knows how to get him in there against pretty good people. A faded Pacquiao, regressed Pacquiao, nevertheless, a still game Pacquiao. With Crawford's good. What makes Crawford good is his timing. His timing and his ability to kind of open you up for the shots he wants. Knows that he throws the right punches at the right time, which kind of to me, it just amounts to timing. If you throw a 1-2-3 and you don't land with the 1-2, but the 3's hard as hell, then you've thrown a very good combination. It's just... Horn, I mean, Horn's a big guy who, if Crawford gets too clean, I can see Horn mucking it up. I can see Horn just making, you know, just kind of swinging and then falling in, grabbing, just throwing punches while they're holding. I can just see him kind of getting dirty, trying to put his weight on Crawford. I can see that happen. I can see Crawford, you know, Horn trying to box with him a bit, Crawford reading him early, beginning to get to him toward the middle round, then Horn mucking it up. That's sort of what I see. Horn would have to knock Crawford out or just dominate totally to get a decision. He's not going to be on the judge's mind. So he's going to really have to put something forward to get any sort of decision.
Good. What do you think, Chris?
Sure. He's exactly right. Just what he said. We only saw very little of we saw him what against Pacquiao. It's hard to judge that fight. And now against a really good boxer, a good strong, smart guy. Like, I don't think there's anybody smarter in the ring than Crawford. Maybe Lomachenko about equal him. I mean, there's a smart fighter there, and. It's going to be if I was a trainer, I'd say, how the hell do we beat this guy? What are we going to do to beat him? You know, and then you'd have to kind of maybe change course during the fight. You come up with a game plan. If it doesn't work, what do? You're going to have a second one, and that's what I think. When you fight Crawford, you better have a backup plan, because there's not one. Mm-hmm. It's hard to beat him one way. I mean, the guy can box, punch, move. Yeah. He's smart. He figures it out. He actually lets you mix it up with him, and then he wants to see what you've got, and then he figures, you know, him and his corner are pretty smart. They're smart. They go back and figure out, okay, what's it take to beat this guy, and then they do it. So, it's a good fight. I mean, Crawford is outstanding, but, I think the guy's capable of giving him a damn good fight. But I don't think he's capable of beating him. Right at this
point. Ty, what do you think?
I think.
You know, I completely concur with Zito and Chris. First of all, number one, I thought Horn cleanly beat Pacquiao. I know a lot of you guys disagree with me, but I actually thought he won that fight. I scored the fight as I was watching, and I thought Horn edged it. I honestly did. With that said, Horn is not a better boxer than Pacquiao. He's not a better boxer than Terrence Crawford. What Horn was successful at doing was making it a very rugged fight. Never seen Crawford at welterweight. Crawford's always been the bigger guy physically in the ring. Even though Victor Postol and and Dongo were taller, he had more physicality than those guys. You know what I mean? And that's kind of been a theme in a lot of his fights, whether you know it or not. I mean, he's a great boxer. He adjusts well. But he, you know, in, especially early in fights, before he adjusts, his defense is a little leaky. He gets caught. He absorbs the shots well, but he's a bigger guy. And then he starts to kind of bully these guys. And a lot of that has to do to me with he has a level of physicality that those guys couldn't compete with, as well as being the better boxer. This time, I think he goes in lacking in physicality compared to Jeff Horn. Jeff Horn's a bigger, physical, more rugged guy. So it will be interesting to see, because sometimes in spite of adjustments, you just can't keep a guy off of you. You got to dig down and be able to fight, and you got to be durable enough to withstand a guy. So these are some things we're going to see, some questions we're going to get answered about Crawford. We know he's, you know, we know what he's capable of, but we've never seen him at welterweight. And so until I see his durability questioned at welterweight, his punch power questioned at welterweight, how he holds up physically at welterweight, the jury's still out. Of course, I lean towards him to beat Horn because, again, when push comes to shove, you always go with the better boxer. Both guys are physically in their prime. But I do think Horn's being discounted, and I think it's a tougher fight than people see, than people realize.
Good. Well, guys, we're up against our time limit here. Ty, I appreciate all you do every week. Chris, you always give us the background that we may need. And Zito, everybody listens weekly to the breakdown. They love to hear you break down. I've gotten a lot of comments about all three of you, and I want to let you know with the tonight's show, I'm just looking at the numbers right now. We didn't surpass our highest number. We just met it at 256,419.
Wow.
So I want to thank all of you for doing a great job. So Ty, you want to lead us out?
Hey, you know, it's great talking to you guys. Butch, Zito, Dr. Chris, always a pleasure. Bob is our co-pilot. See you guys next week.
Okay. Chris?
Well, I look forward to talking to you guys. I really do. I had lunch with Tex Cobb this week.
Nice.
Had a million laughs. He's back in town. And, you know, he's 60-some years old now. And he still thinks he's 20. He's very, very comical. I'm going to get him back on the show. I'm going to give you
his
one. Sure. I told him, I said, Tex, we got to get you back on the show. It's always worth a few laughs. A very comical guy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, I'll call him. Well, matter of fact, when I mentioned, I said, we're still doing a show. I'd like to be on it. I'd like to be on it. You know, be good to
sure.
Nice to have you. So,
yeah, I'll call
all
you.
All right, guys,
I
enjoyed it. Yeah, I enjoyed
great.
It. Like I say, the weather broke a little bit today. We had a heat wave. It reached 50. Jesus, God, am I disgusted with this weather. So, anyway, I'm going to go down and see my buddy and have a cup of coffee with him down at the restaurant. So, all right, catch up with you guys next week. Good talking
take
to all
care.
Of you. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
You too. Take it easy, Doctor.
Z?
Oh, man. Another wonderful show. Another wonderful show. I want to thank Dr. Chris, Ty. I want to thank you, Butch, and all my Fighting Words family. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob. And if anyone wants to hear any Fighting Words, please do call.
Yeah, I just want to let everybody know that our good friend Edgar Cherry is fighting in Bethlehem. I did talk to Dan about getting tickets or getting press passes for you two guys. It's up at the Sands in Bethlehem. I don't know. That should be more than maybe 2 hours from your house using the Schuylkill and the Blue Route. But if you can make it, that'll be good. Edgar would love to have you there. So we'll see how that works out. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please acknowledge that they're there. A simple handshake, a wink, a nod, anything. The best thing you can ever do for anybody in uniform is tell them, be safe, my brother or my sister. These are very dangerous times, both domestically and foreign, for our people. So please, please, be kind to them. These programs are dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Bate, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Serba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Police Department, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Highway Patrolman, Hillsborough County Deputy Charlie Kotloff, Delaware State Trooper Sergeant Roddy Bond, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Ardith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, FDLE Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Delaware State Trooper Stephen Ballard, Kissimmee Patrol Officer Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, and Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department. My brothers and sisters, you may be 10-7 at this point in time, and sometime we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the rains fall softly on your fields. May the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hands. Good night, everybody. God bless, and have a happy St. Paddy's Day.
Shema Ezahilma Sona Shen Evorat Fed Hakuig again my Ezahilma
1999, County Dispatch to 1999, County Dispatch to 1999. Be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.
Good night, Bob. We love you and we miss you.